following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Specifically, I guess it would be Studio A is where I'm at. That's the old home of Radio Memphis. It's now since moved on to another place, Studio B. See what we did there? And there is a Studio C, quite frankly. Yeah, there is. There's three studios to that. And occasionally, we if we're out on the road somewhere, there we might have an ad hoc studio somewhere. That's why we named the company Pirate Radio Studios. That's the name of the company that actually holds all this mess. And it is. It's a big old mess. That's for certain. Much like the way things have been traversing here of late online, I'm speaking of social media here, and I wanted to over here make a noise with the mic. That's real professional, Rick. The idea here that some of the things that I have seen here of late have given me pause, and it's. I don't recall our world being like this. It seems like we've kind of stepped backwards in society. It seems like we've kind of made an about face in some aspects, and I know the reason why. I know what's going on, and I'll get into that. As unpopular as it may be, it's actually not very unpopular. Apparently, about 60% of you will agree with me on this, if not more, maybe close to 65%. But here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that for some reason now it seems like it's okay to be hateful and to be just an all around ass. Now, granted, this is only happening in social media. I don't see this in public. I mean, I do. People are still asses. I mean, you run into them in grocery stores and stuff like that, and out there doing your thing. And yes, they can be somewhat assholish. That's just the nature of people. But for some bizarre reason, in social media, it seems like it's almost expected. People have, I guess, feel as though they've been given the green light to really make asinine, hateful comments about certain things and defend them vociferously, whether there's any basis in fact in this or not. And the divisions that we've seen here in society, they're widening. Every attempt that has been put out there to bring people together has just been met with some sort of complete chaos, and it's sad. It's really sad. It's unnerving. Yeah, like I said, you're not really seeing it out in public, because people that speak this kind of hatred in public, they tend to not do it, unless they really are fully prepared for the consequences. Where there's this whole thing about doing it in social media, doing it on Facebook or Twitter or wherever, because at this point you're just another keyboard cowboy out there that nobody can really, I mean, they can identify, but they're not going to show up on someone's front doorstep and say, all right, let's have a chat about this face to face, because it won't happen. Cowardice usually goes into full swing when you have the ability to speak your mind without actually using your voice. That's the thing. I'm talking about your vocal cords, right? Being able to sit behind a keyboard or however it is you convey your messages into social media gives everybody the big S on their chest. And it's like, I'm right and you're wrong, and here's why. And not only that, I'm going to say horribly offensive things about your beliefs and your ideas and your thoughts. And guess what? I don't care. That's the prevailing thing that we tend to see. That's what I see. Lord knows, thank God for Facebook, because if we hadn't had that, right, we wouldn't have everybody being a constitutional executive or expert, rather. There's constitutional attorneys all over Facebook. I did not know that, but there are. There are geniuses when it comes to military actions out there. There are former players of the NFL, apparently, because every one of y'all are experts on the whole thing. Everybody has, man, there's all sorts of doctors out there too. There's an expert for everything, it seems, out there. And not one of them are right. Because everything becomes, it's about my personal point of view. If it agrees with me, then it is right. That's the prevailing thought. If I don't agree with it, then it is wrong. And that, my friends, is an incredibly narrow-minded way to go through life. We've seen heightened acts of racism, bigotry, fascism, hatred, and it exists for the most part in the internet because, like I said, between comment forums and newspaper articles to Facebook or Twitter or wherever, that's where it is. You're not seeing too much of this action taking place, you know, at a bar or at a restaurant or around a coffee table, or you don't hear of that, which I guess is a good thing, because some of the things that I've seen posted are kind of frightening, really. And it was, oh, he's being a snowflake. He's all scared. No, it's that you actually, what I'm frightened of is the fact that you actually think like that, you know. World travel is the cure to end bigotry. It does. It really does. Go see how other people live their lives. I've been fortunate. I've traveled. I've been across the Atlantic Ocean a few times. I've seen how these people live. And I pay attention to that. Ignorance is easily solvable. The problem is that it's willful ignorance that is out there. A friend of mine once said not long ago that using the word idiot seems to have kind of gone passé. It's not correct to use the word idiot when you're referring to an individual on social media who is making a completely asinine statement. That's not an idiot. That's willful ignorance is what that is. It's what we've seen in high-end, super-organized religion, like evangelical Christians, who use the Bible and their church and their theology as a buffet. They pick and choose what suits them. There are things in the Bible that aren't for everybody. There's, you know, I've read that too. If you spend any time going, well, let's use this as it's the oldest one in the book, if you will, pardon the pun. But Leviticus, and they talk about, you know, you can't be gay because it says so in the Bible. Well, a few paragraphs down, it says you can't be eating shellfish because of the same book. So, you know, you're picking and choosing over here. And that's not how that works. It's not how society works. A honest, civil, moral society exists when everybody can kind of agree on a few things. And right now, we don't agree on much of anything. We don't, at least in social media. That's my point. In social media, we feel as though we've kind of stepped away from that. It's almost as if this it's its own world. There's no doubt about it. It's its own universe. But there's no rules there, and not that there really need to be. The whole thing about everybody has an opinion. That's right. You have your opinions. I have my opinions. My neighbor has his opinions. My friends have their opinions. That's correct. That is absolutely right. And we all get to say them, except when you're wrong. say them by all means. Speak your minds. And I guess the good part about the idea of being able to speak in social media in the way that we've seen is that now not only do you get to feel better about saying the things that you are saying, but the rest of us get to look at that and go, oh, so now we know who to avoid. You're that guy. We're going to steer away from that. I choose not to get into a discussion with this individual because willful ignorance. That's what it is. It's willful ignorance. There's no idiots anymore. It's all of these people being willfully ignorant. I love that. I really do. I love this concept. We've actually dug deeper than the idiocy that is there, and we've gone into willful ignorance. I don't know what follows that, if anything. Or maybe that's a complete breakdown of society at that point. But nevertheless, willful ignorance. I choose to not be educated. I choose not to understand. I choose not to see for my own eyes. It's kind of scary, isn't it? But that's what's happening. You know, and it's he's over there speaking on that liberal platform over there. You know, he hates the president. He doesn't show any respect for the president. No, I don't, because he quit showing respect for the office as well. That's all there is to that. Such as it is, it's the world we live in. But hey, take your axe to grind over to Facebook, for God's sake, and lay out your reasons, lay out your arguments, because by God, that's where everybody's going to change their mind, right? I don't know of anybody out there whose minds have been changed over something this heavy just by simply reading a post on Facebook. Can we agree on one thing? Can we get back to having more cats? More cat videos on Facebook, maybe more boobs. That'd be good. That'd be all right. I'm all for that. Everybody likes boobs. Not political boobs. Boobs. Just, you know. Let the juvenile out of the box, why don't you, Rick? Right on. Hey, coming up today on the program, we've got a good one here for you. Our old friend Mr. Mick Colossa jumps into the studio. We had a chat about his brand new record that is out now. We're going to play a couple of tracks from it. We're going to have a little chat with Mick. Mick's a great guy. He's a lot of fun. He's a student, he's a lifelong student of the blues, and he's very good. He's beyond student. He's like educating. You're going to get smarter listening to this, that's for sure. So stick around. That's coming up, our conversation with Mr. Mick Colossa here. But before then, I want to tell you about this. Our friends over at the Green Man CBD. Yes. Oh, CBD. You've been hearing about this. It's all over the place. Oh, you got people that go, hey, you got to try the CBD, CPC. Post on the social media. Hey, I had a headache. Now I don't because CBD cured it. Well, that's probably very true. It is getting people off of opiates. We've learned that. Well, I don't understand. I have questions. Well, CBD, the Green Man CBD has answers. Go to thegreenmancbd.com. Go there now, and in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see where it says menu. Click on that, and then you'll see facts, FAQs. Those are the frequently asked questions, and there's a whole list in there, and all of your questions can be answered and give you the chance to check it out for yourself. CBD oil has been known to do some wondrous things, and you've heard an awful lot about it. Well, our friends at the Green Man CBD have you covered. Products from Veedverks, Chronic Candy, Green Roads, 50 Shades of Green, out of Kentucky, no less. CB Distillery. Also, they have edibles, oils, and tinctures. That's the one everybody takes under their tongue, the sublingual stuff. You sit it in your mouth for like 30 seconds. You're good to go. Take a swallow and on with your day. And does it do any good? Well, certainly it does. It makes you feel better. It does a lot of wonderful things. And what are the side effects? We've seen none. You can learn more at thegreenmancbd.com. Free shipping within the United States on orders over $50. Take a look at them right now. Answer your questions. Get you some good CBD. TheGreenManCBD.com. Start feeling better tomorrow. Coming up right after this brief break, Mick Colossa here from Radioland. Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
House full here tonight, which is always a good thing. Mm-hmm. It is every Sunday down here. Mark Caldwell is here from the Memphis Blues Society. He's the vice president of said organization.
Yes. More about vice than anyway.
Yes. Yeah. What's going on over there in the world of the blues?
Oh, another great night of blues on the show tonight.
Well, yeah. Wonderful. Thank you for making that happen tonight.
It's wonderful. And we still got more to come.
So oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah. We got some new music coming.
Yeah. This is a fun time for the Blues Society. You know, next month we're going to have our Battle the Blues Challenge.
Yes.
That is our local challenge to get...
The road to the IBC, yeah.
Yeah, basically the winning solo duo act and band will yes. represent the Memphis Blues Society at the International Blues Challenge this January here in Memphis. We want to put a call out to any of you solo duo bands out there that you'd like to compete and represent the Memphis Blues Society.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have our 2018 Battle of the Blues Challenge. We're going to be at Club 152 down on Beale Street. Tuesday, September 11th, and Wednesday, September 12th.
Yes.
7 to 11 o'clock each night. For interested bands, solo duo acts, all of the application, all the instructions, they are up on the Memphis Blues Society website.
Yeah, there's a little paperwork involved, yes.
Yeah, and please go to memphisbluesociety.com.
Yes.
And up on the top, there's a tab that says IBC. Tap on that, and the application and instructions are there. I'm just like you said, Rick. There is information you need to provide.
Yes.
You know, music.
You don't just show up and plug in.
Yeah,
it doesn't work out like that.
You need to provide music, a bio, pictures.
Yeah.
You don't want to disqualify yourself. This is a big deal because you get to represent the Memphis Blues Society, the winners.
Yes.
Here amongst all of the other winners of the Blues Societies and associations worldwide coming in for this in January. So this is a big deal. So if you're interested, we would love to invite you to participate. Again, go to memphisbluesociety.com, click on the tab titled IBC, and you can print and download the application instructions. Read them good, thoroughly.
Yeah. Pay attention.
Yeah, the deadline. Everything has to be mailed in. You can email part of the information and mail the other.
Yeah.
But September 5th is the postmark deadline. So
okay.
We want to invite, we really might have a good turnout this year. So
we have some of those, we have some of the applications here in our studio. So any of the acts that happen to come down here and they're interested in getting into this thing, you know, we can get you started.
If you need more, we can get them down there too. So
there'll be plenty.
Yeah. Also, this takes volunteers. I mean, the Memphis Blues Society is a volunteer-run organization.
Yes.
We need a number of volunteers to help with our challenge next month. So I will be sending out an email to all of the membership volunteers, musicians this week. But next Saturday, we're going to have a volunteer meeting for any of those interested to participate and help.
Yes.
So I'll have all the details in email for that. So that is next Saturday, the 25th. Anyway, I'll get out information to you in email, and we have a Facebook group, too. It's MBS Volunteers. So, I'll go ahead and mention the Goat Picnic. Sharday was here a couple weeks ago.
Yes,
so
she was.
I want to mention that.
Yeah.
That's coming up the 24th and 25th, the 68th Annual Goat Picnic. And that's going
to
be it.
It doesn't involve goats, much to my surprise.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
No, it's greatest of all time, is it? Right. You know, Sharday's not going to have any goats upstaging her. That's
exactly.
Not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, this is going to be in Coldwater, Mississippi. The address is it's 1043 Highway 51 North.
Yeah.
And it is free. And, again, that is this coming this coming weekend, the 24th to 25th of August. So that's going to be a good time. So.
And it's free. There's going to be food. There's beer. I think you can brown bag, I think. It's a BYOB thing.
It's free admission. Bring your own tents, table, chairs. There will be food available.
There is food. Okay, you go.
So that's a good time. So please go support that. That's good.
Now that's down in Coldwater. That's Coldwater, in God's country right there.
It sure is.
Gorgeous there.
And lastly, I want to mention our jams, as always.
Yes.
We've got two great jams that the Memphis Blues Society is sponsoring right now.
Yeah.
Every Sunday, Wild Bills, over Wild Bills on 1580 Valentine here in Memphis. Wild Bills it's called the Wild Bills Juke and Blues Jam. And this is a musician-friendly hours. This is 4 to 7 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's family-friendly hours, too.
Yeah, too. Because, you know, we have these jams, we have, you know, the musicians, they want to be there, but they may have a gig to play. So
sure.
This, a lot of times, they can get out early in time. So,
yeah.
This is a good time. So
yeah, from 4 to 7, is that right?
4 to 7. And that's hosted by the Juke Joint All-Stars. And they will be here later in September as well. They're going to be on the show.
Looking forward to that. That'll be fun.
Good. Yeah. So bring your instrument, sign up to participate. They do have beer for sale now, good foods.
Oh, yeah.
So please come and be a part of that. Then on Thursdays, we have the Brad Webb and Friends Blues Jam. That is 7:30 to 11 over at Rock House, Memphis. And that is Rock House Live is at 5709 Raleigh LaGrange. And same thing, good music, good food, drink, come and be part of that. And this isn't just for musicians, too. All these jams, you never know who may be in town or may come to
partake in the jam. Those jams are a lot of fun to just go
sit
and
watch. They're really fun. They really are.
Just to sit and watch because, you said, you don't know who's going to
You don't know
what music is going to come out of these guys.
And these are free. I mean, it is wonderful to see the talent that is here in the Mid-South partake in these jams. So.
Yeah, it's big fun.
So, yeah, it's not just for musicians. It's fans, too. So, anyway, we have these two jams. So, please, musicians, fans, come out and support those. Otherwise, as always, please support your local Memphis, local blues and local music. Please support that musicians, and don't forget to tip. Fans may not realize how critical the tip bucket can be.
Yeah.
So please, when you're there, please tip, buy a CD. This is a big deal, so please help the musicians.
Yeah.
Tip them, buy their music that they've got. And lastly, I talked about Memphis, we're a volunteer-run organization, so we're always looking for volunteers. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up this fall, especially our.
And it's not heavy lifting for people that are sitting there going.
Yeah, you're not toting equipment.
Yeah, you're not going to be schlepping a Fender Twin around.
Yeah, you're not sweeping or you're not taking trash or anything.
No.
It's one of the funnest volunteer jobs you have because
it really is.
You get to hear. It's always music oriented, so.
You get like
always
the best
right
seat in the
there.
House,
you get to, you can talk to musicians. You can be a part of it. It's a fun time. So, but anyway, for more information, our website is memphisbluessociety.com, and also we're on Facebook. Our group page is Memphis Blues Society, and then we have another page. It's Memphis Blues Society Friends.
Yeah.
So
yeah, go be a volunteer.
Time.
Yeah,
a lot of fun stuff coming up. So if you'd like to be a part of it. Check us out at memphisbluessociety.com.
And with the IBCs coming up, and like you said, it really requires a bunch of volunteers for that.
Yeah, it sure does.
But it is so much fun. I mean,
it's a wonderful time.
You're going to wind up in it being exposed to so much fantastic music and meet people from all over the world.
Yeah, it really is wonderful.
Just a great time.
So. And the IBC itself. Now, you two nights, is it every band going to play on
we're doing
night?
Just like at the IBC. Each night.
So you're going to have different judges?
We have two separate judges each night, and the bands.
If you need somebody on the first day,
okay, I'll let you know. Okay.
The thing that's kept me from entering my band in, because we can now. I've not, I'm no longer on the board.
Yeah.
But I trained the judges, and somebody would say it was fixed. So I'd be happy to bring that in on the 11th. We got a gig on the 12th, but if you want me, I'd happy to do that.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We follow the rules to the T. They have a 25-minute set.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the night, they're going to have a band meeting. They'll select in the order that they'll play.
Yeah, because it's random.
And you have a whole separate set of judges each night. And it's two full nights. So it's a great time. It really is.
It's fun, and it is. It's very objective, and there's no bias or anything like that in there. So
yeah,
no, it's it really is a good time.
Yeah. We have the best self-produced CD competition.
Yes.
We don't have the details up, but we have more. That'll probably be in I think we have to submit by November.
Yes.
But in the coming weeks, we'll have all that information up on the webpage, too. So if you have a self-produced CD that you would like to enter, it's kind of like the IBC. We have our own internal judging for the self-produced CDs for the last year, and that winning CD gets to go on and represent the Memphis Blues Society at the International Blues Challenge.
Can you quickly define self-produced because it's more broad than just...
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah,
no, that's a good point. I'm trying to kind of describe this. You're not going to a professional... You're not hiring a professional. I'm not saying this right. Basically, the band themselves, they're not professional.
They've recorded it themselves.
Right? They are doing the recording and the production by themselves. They're not hiring any.
To a label.
Not hiring anybody. It's an independent effort. So, it's themselves putting it, basically producing and putting together.
That doesn't. That's okay to send it out to have it mastered. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Somebody else can mix and master.
Yeah, this is
As an example, my first five albums could have qualified for that because Jeff Jensen produced it with me and he was part of the band.
Right.
And Jeff's not. Okay. This album couldn't possibly qualify. I've got a Grammy-winning producer on it.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just totally different.
So. Right, yeah. Right.
Exactly.
It's a paid-for production.
Yes.
Yeah, as opposed to just producing it yourself, yes.
And it costs a lot of money.
Yeah. Yes, it does. But you get what you pay for, usually.
I'll let everybody else be the judge. But
that's a good point. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate everything you guys are doing.
Thanks so far for bringing us what we got tonight, too. Because Mick Colossa is here with a brand new record. Mick Colossa and the TaylorMade Blues Band, 149 Delta Avenue. Is that what you're calling it here?
That's it.
Yeah. And you had pointed me to the list of artists that you have on this record, and it is substantial, my friend.
Couple of friends, yeah.
Yeah, a couple of friends, yes. You.
The main band. My gosh, Leo Goff on bass. Leo joined us on bass because my bass player, who I was sharing with Watermelon Slim, said, I got to make a choice, and I've been with Slim longer. About a month before we went into the studio, and I just called Leo, and I said, are you available? And he said, oh, yes, please. So, and you can't do better than Leo Goff.
No, Leo's the man, yeah.
Lee Williams on drums. Lee and I played together a lot. We had a band called the Clarksdale Regulators we played with for a while. Lee is homegrown in Clarksdale.
Yes.
And David Donovan.
Yes.
David is lead guitar and second vocals in the band. And then we brought in Chris Stevenson to round it out for keyboards. We had a few other people join us. Jeff Jensen did some guitar work on it.
Well, yeah, you and Jeff have been working together for years.
Well, you know, and it's funny, Eric Hughes brought this up, that Eric and Jeff are the only people besides me who have been on every one of my albums.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I made it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I also had J.D. Taylor come in. You know, Jenny came in and played harp. Mark Franklin and Kirk Smothers in the Bo Keys. Alice Hassan, an amazing
lady. Alice is, I saw her with Tony Maynard at the Vault a few weeks back. And just watching her play, I mean, it was her, Tony, and Cecil Yancey. Mm-hmm. And they were doing, you know, just some different stuff and just letting her shine the way that she did with just two guitarists.
Well, she plays with a group called the Blackwater Trio, which is two guitarists, Seth and Matt. And it's just amazing.
She's an incredible player.
Oh, well, you know, she's classically trained.
Yeah.
You know, conservatory type stuff. She can bring anything. You ought to hear when they cut loose on an acoustic version of Space Oddity.
Yeah.
It's one of the most amazing things I ever heard.
Her Facebook posts are funny. She'll have a picture of herself that somebody had taken, and she goes, well, looking at this, I see that my posture is wrong. Calm down.
She's the most self-critical person. It's a shame. She was on my previous album. She did two tunes. One where she had a prominent part was And Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out, right, with Taz Crew.
Yeah.
On this, I brought her in because we do a song. It's the final song on the album, The Viper. And we just knew we wanted a lot of musicians on it. So we had the folks in the Bo Keys, and Suavo came in and helped out, and Alice, and that was a lot of fun. That's probably when we had to play tonight, just to establish something.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'll get that. That's a great tune.
Yeah, and then we also had one song I wanted a particular kind of guitar player, and we were lucky enough that Taranzo Cannon agreed to play on it. Taranzo is, you know,
Alligator Records, Taranzo, yeah.
Yeah. And it was so easy. It was a pleasure to work with Alligator on that because we had to clear it with Bruce.
Yeah.
Iglauer. And it was great. Everyone who – and then also Susan Marshall and Pi, Danielle Hill.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they love to sing. And they love doing backups, man.
Oh, and you listen to what they did on this record. It is just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But the song that Taranzo played on, and Danielle, when she was reading the lyrics, she started to shake. She hadn't heard the song yet.
Really?
And I knew it was going to be powerful. And it's one of those. I'm very proud of the entire album, but that is almost an out of body experience. I hear it and say, "My God, that came out of me." But everybody just got it and played so well, and it came from a discussion. Barbara Newman and I were talking. She'd been talking with the Blues Foundation. And she had been talking with the curator of the Cotton Museum here,
mm-hmm.
who said that they were going to start telling the whole story of cotton, not just the one they like. And so we talked about that, and I said, you know, that's really a good idea. And I was driving home, and I live on Cotton Road, and it was the perfect metaphor for it. I mean, Cotton Road's got lanes that go in two directions. There's two different stories.
Yes.
And so the song Cotton Road is that other story.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And
well, you've been known to put a rather emotional music into your records. I know the previous one, there was a lot of heartache in that one. I mean, mm-hmm. there was
that was, you know, the previous one with originals. So I did two that were nothing but other people's music, yeah. Double Standards and the Beatles one.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, there were two songs on Taylor Made Blues.
Yeah, Taylor Made. Yeah,
one
yeah.
about losing Ted and one about losing the Raul Navarrete.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah, and I've had others where I do that. So this entire album is from my heart. I don't have any. Somebody said, and here I am. I just turned 22 for the third time.
You're looking good over there, Vic.
And the engineer, Mike Wilson, I said, what do you think? He's been on four of my albums. He said, don't get me wrong. This is just more mature.
Yeah.
And it is. You listen to it. I don't have any throwaway songs in there.
So this came out exactly the way you had envisioned it? Was it one of those projects?
It came out better. I mean, some of it was just what I thought. There's one song on there, Pulling Me Down, where I wasn't sure I wanted it in there just because of some things. But I said, let's try it. And this is before we found out that Jensen was going to have time to come in and play.
Yeah.
So I was ready to play the solo. So it's a minor key, and I knew I could do an Albert King solo.
Yeah.
There's five notes in an Albert King solo that's easy enough to work out.
Yeah.
So that's where I wanted to go with it. So we did the scratch track with nothing on there, and I sent a few tracks to Mark Franklin and Kirk Smothers of the Bow Keys.
Yeah.
And Kirk said, I'll tackle that one. And I'd forgotten that I'd asked him to do a horn part for it. So by that time, Jeff had come on board, and Jeff had come in and just done this amazing Albert King solo and background on it. And Kirk came in and said, I don't know why, but I heard that song. And I was just thinking Albert King. So this and what they laid on it. People are going to say, I don't remember Albert doing that song, because he didn't.
Uh-huh.
But it just had that feeling. It worked so well. So.
Yeah.
And there are others. There's one song on there we got twice.
Alternative Man.
And then Alternative Man Alternative. And the reason for that, first of all, you're going to love it. I've got to thank Kellyanne Conway for this. When she was talking about alternative facts.
Alternative facts,
and
yes.
I said, where can I go with that?
Oh, my God.
And then I thought, God, I only want to be your alternative man. That's a classic type of a blues line.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I wrote the song.
It is.
And we first started going it, and the band was taking it and running with it. And Leo was rocking out. And David Donovan, they came back in. And David, I said, where did that solo come from? And it's in what we call the alternative. And he said, I just thought, what wouldn't Mick want me to play? And it's a great rocking song. I said, that's great, but that's not the song I wrote.
Yeah.
And so we did it the way I wanted to.
Yeah.
But the other version was so good, I said, well, let people decide. So I got Alternative Man.
So you got both of them
and
on
Alternative
there.
Man Alternative.
But, it's a shame that the line that I heard this weekend, the truth is not the truth. Because when that came out, I thought, man, there's a song right there.
I'm working on it.
I knew you would be. Yeah.
But I also said, because I had a post on that today.
Yeah.
The truth is not the truth. George Orwell rolled over in his grave, slapped himself in the forehead. Why the hell didn't I think of this?
what a great line.
The truth is not the truth. Which would really upset Jeff Beck.
I think it would. It would really bother him. I want to play a cut off of this. Did you say you want to start with a Viper on this? I mean,
that or Cotton Road? It's the opposite.
How you want to go with it?
Let's start with Cotton Road. Just to
sample it out here and give everybody a taste of this record.
Oh, I also want to point out not credited on here. You hear the percussion that starts out. Sounds like hammers on rocks. It's hammers on chains and chains on chains. Preston McEwen and I did that 3 years ago.
Really?
For another song.
That never got used?
And it didn't get used because we actually lost one of the vocal tracks for it and couldn't really recreate it.
Yeah.
So it didn't show up in Double Standards. But I had cut it, actually thinking about it, for Taylor Made Blues. It was that long ago Preston and I did it.
Yeah.
And I had four different sized hammers. A drywall hammer, a 2-pound sledge, a ball peen, and a regular claw hammer.
Yeah.
And then a pile of chains. And so we'd hit on 1 and 3 with the hammers on the chains, and then 2 and 4, I was curling the chains and dropping them.
Oh, yeah.
And we recorded it at 45 beats per minute and then doubled the speed, which compressed it all to 90 beats per minute. And it was just what we needed. And, wow. And so we were thinking, well, we want this sound. We want it to sound like hammers and rocks or chains or something. Where can we get that sound? And I said, I got it. Let me show you. And we pulled it in, changed the speed for it.
Yeah.
It's perfect. So that's how the song begins and ends with that.
Yes.
And then you hear Susan Marshall and Danielle do their magic.
Well, let's check it out here. This is Cotton Road, brand new music from Mick Colossa here. It is the album is 149 Delta Avenue, and it's going to be released when?
September 1st.
September 1st, right around the corner. So, but here it is right now at Radio Memphis.
Oh, that cotton road,
that cotton road.
Oh, that cotton road,
that cotton road.
It sure made them into kings, but they hate to have to talk about those little things, like stealing other people, using whips to make them work. That's how they made their king come up through that southern dirt. Whoa, that cotton road. With hateful glory, with the blood of honest men, whipped and starved by masters who weren't half as good as them. The Bible teaches there's no value to ill-gotten gains. That filthy money came from putting free men into chains. Oh, that cotton road. Profit, it was close.
money made by people who didn't dare look past themselves. The ghosts of those who work the field can't rest until the time. We all admit that money only came from crime.
There's a lot of balls behind that tune there, my friend.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's telling a story.
Everybody got it. Everybody playing on it understood what it was.
Sure.
And it, damn, I wrote it. It still gives me goosebumps. It's just the production and everything. It's just
something. The muse touched you on that one. Yeah, I'd say. And it's a great production all the way through. I mean, every part in there. And I like how it just builds. It just becomes this monster, you know.
Yeah. Well, and again, Michael Freeman's a master at that. You know, the producer, but he was also very active in the mixing of it and what they were able to pull together on that. And Michael and I were just talking that you know, I had final say-so on everything, but there was very little that went on that I didn't totally agree with. And, you know, there were things. I would write notes. We need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd come back, well, we just finished doing that. So how's
that? Oh, yeah.
And he, you know, we were born within days of each other.
Yeah.
Ocean apart. He's British, but he's U.S. citizen. But we had so much in common. Even we'd go to a restaurant together. One would go to the restroom, the other one would order and come back and order the same thing. We did that more often than not, and it's just silly. So we got into the studio and started working on this stuff, and it was, you know, we didn't have to talk about it. We just knew where it was going to go, and it was really a pleasure to work that way.
Yeah, you have when you have a kindred soul there that you're working with, it does make things so much easier, you know.
Well, and one of the reasons one of the songs on there, you know, because I've got two songs that there's three songs that I didn't write, nine originals and three that weren't. One is that Viper, one is Miss Boss. That's a Larry Garner song that I've always loved.
Yeah,
asked Larry if I could do it. He said, oh, please. The other one is Don't Need No Doctor. And one of the things that got me doing is I remember John Mayer saying, here's an obscure Ray Charles song that not very many people know. Really?
Really?
And I can like name about 12 other people that did it.
That did do it? Yeah.
You know, New Riders of the Purple Sage did it, for crying out loud.
Well, yes.
But so the reason I said to Michael, I want to do that, and I want to do it in a different way, because my first date with my wife, October 18th, 1974, we went to a Humble Pie concert.
Perfect first date, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's a perfect one.
Didn't start out as a date. It ended up as a date. I don't need no doctor. But,
yeah, that Humble Pie business right there, man. That's where it's at.
But, I mean, and that was, you know, one of their big songs.
Well, it was huge, you know, yeah.
And it was also because of a support job Michael had with a band that accompanied Humble Pie.
Yeah.
That he first came to America. So that song had to be on there. And we went round and round because I started out doing it slower and more moanful.
Yeah.
But Leo said, oh, we can funk this up a little bit. And Leo was right. And we got it to a really nice place.
So. Yeah. You get Leo can, he can soup up anything, whether it's a motorcycle, a car, or a tune. He's there.
We were sitting in his out in one of his garages talking and it's where we had done some rehearsals, but he had bikes in there now. And he's like, God, okay. I had that Beezer. Friend had that Norton Commando. Yeah, that's a 66 Sportster, right? Yeah. Oh my God, you know. He's got about 300 motorcycles.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
He's got five times more motorcycles than he has bass guitars.
And that says something right there, really. Yeah. Yeah, he's got a signature bass. You think that
he's got three signature basses from different manufacturers.
He should have a signature bike.
A signature motorcycle.
Not yet, but we should work on that. Get somebody on that one.
I had a dream about a reefer that was 5 foot long. Mighty immense, but it wasn't that strong. Well, I'll be high, but not for long. Cause I's a viper. I'm the king of everything. I gotta get high before I can swing. I lie to cheat and let it be. Cause I's a viper. Why, if your throat gets dry, cause you just got high, well, everything is dandy. Truck on down to the corner store. Get yourself some peppermint candy. That my body is spent. And I don't care if I can pay my rent. The sky is high, and so is I. Cause I's a viper. About a reefer that was 5 foot long. Mighty immense, but it wasn't that strong. I'll be high, but not for long. Cause I's a viper. I'm the king of everything. But I gotta get high before I can swim. I'll just light a cheek and let it be. Those eyes a viper. If you just got high and your throat is dry, everything is dandy. Truck on down to the corner store. Get yourself some peppermint candy. I pay my rent. The sky is high and so is I. Cause I's a viper.
This is a great tune. Yeah, I didn't mean to step all over the end of it, but there you go. That's the Viper there from Mick Colossa, with an Easter egg in the middle of it, or in the middle of, toward the end of it. Yes, you got a little Easter eggs all through this thing.
Oh yeah, well, but this was so much fun, and you know, it ran long. We were going to try to make it go exactly 4:20. Oh. We didn't want to sacrifice any of it.
Well, no, not at all. No, it's a beautiful bit of work right there. It's so much fun, and I like how you have always kind of tipped your hat to that Hokum style of jazz and blues from the 30s and 40s, or 20s and 30s, rather.
And if you look on the cover, on the inside is this little stamp right here.
Yes.
And I've actually copyrighted that. But people said, what kind of blues do you do? All of it. What kind of blues do you play? All of it. Oh, no, it's like Delta, Chicago, Piedmont? Yes.
All of it.
And so, so we say what we do is free range blues.
Yeah, that's a good I like that term because that's what it is. It's,
and so, you know, you've got this, the two songs we played here are pretty far and extreme both in tone and
feel,
feel and everything. Yeah. And I got a whole bunch of stuff in the middle too. And it's all, you know, blues is this amazing big tent.
Yeah, well, it's huge, yes.
And you know, I'll still say there's a lot of stuff that's called blues that I have trouble
pulling
into that just simply because, you know, blues got morphed into rock and roll once. It doesn't need to happen again. We've got both. You can call something rock.
Yeah, that's fine. The thing about having the terminology of Americana or roots, it's still blues.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but you don't necessarily have to create that
box. My band does a lot of stuff that stretches in a lot of directions.
Sure.
Because, you know, we wouldn't... Blues is the basis for modern American music. I mean, we wouldn't have country without blues.
That's correct. We wouldn't
have rock or hip-hop or you know, so much. So, you know, we do some pretty fun things because my guitarist, David Donovan, you know, can play about any musical style as he does. I certainly played in bands that did all kinds of things.
Right.
And so we can pull a lot of that in. Something else we do that's kind of unique is harmonies, not just background singing, but actual harmonies and structures in what we do.
Yeah, harmonies within a verse, usually, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, yeah. But we'll, like, David does this amazing version of the song Tennessee Whiskey.
Yes.
And he was playing it, and I said, keep going. Just keep doing that. And I got up and sang I Shall Be Released.
Uh-huh.
It fits the same structure. By the way, you can slide I'd Rather Go Blind in the middle of that. And we've done that with Heather and with Tully Bray. That we'll do it in
yeah, that's we'll, that song I'd Rather Go Blind has been, it's sort of like the Silly Putty of blues. It just, it shows up in all these,
oh, yeah,
all these wonderful
places.
Oh, yeah,
we
do
songs together, but at the end, when we get to the, any day now, I shall be released. We do that, and when it's David and I, we do it in two-part harmony. When Tully or Heather is there, we do it in three-part harmony, and we end it a cappella. And that doesn't happen in a blues show, and people go, but yeah, we do other shows, other songs where, you know, we harmonize and really, really pull that together. And that's fun that we can bring that musicality into it, which is kind of atypical for blues around here. Was, come on, guys, this is a 12 bar.
Oh, oh wow. You guys are really stretching out of that 8
it's
bar
funny,
now.
Jeff and I were talking. I finally had to include a 12 bar so I can do one of my songs at a jam. But because, you know, you've got to. Because, you know, there's no, you get the right musicians in there and you can do anything.
Well, I mean, sure, yeah.
We got together with Terry Hanks and some people and said, just follow my fingers and we're going to go to the 3 year and the 7 year.
And away we go.
You know, you make it happen. But you get to, when you don't know who's going to come rolling in.
Yeah.
We have, and you know, we've had with the Blues Society jams here and down at Ground Zero, we had a jam every Thursday night. It's a jam. The band plays the first set and then. And because it's the same as on Beale Street, you'll often have international guests.
Sure.
Who, sure, I play drums.
Mm.
Okay, we're going to do a shuffle.
Was ist das?
And, okay, let's just play something rock and get it done. And,
yeah, yeah.
At one of the IBC at Taz Cruise Jam 2 years ago, I got up to do some vocals. Tim Fick was playing. I don't know who the drummer was, but I said, give me a shuffle about like this. And the guy goes, boom, 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 boom. And Tim starts playing, and I said, stop, goddammit, stop.
That's not
this is the blues. It's just, and so I explained a shuffle to the guy, you know.
Yeah.
Four triplets.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to do. Once you get that, it's easy. And you know, you've seen me on stage 100 times. You've never seen me do anything like that. And I was almost embarrassed. But, I mean, we're at the International Blues Challenge, and I can't play a shuffle. So, but, you know, and so that happens in jams. And you.
That's the thing about it. You don't know what you're going to get in a jam,
yeah,
you know.
But, I mean, when this guy's an IBC contestant, you hope. Yeah, but I've had people that, exactly. Boy, that's a shuffle? Yeah. Well, I've been playing blues 20 years, and I never heard that.
Really?
You've been playing in bars in Indiana for 20 years. You've been playing
the blues. You've been playing the blues. Oh, my God. You have a CD release happening this weekend, right?
Yeah, 24th at Ground Zero.
That's a happy place.
It's a happy place. It's kind of become our home place this year. By the end of this year, we will have done 24 shows there this year.
Wow.
We've got starting this coming week, we do a show every week there. Could be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday.
Yeah.
But that's great. We're you know, helping the club out there.
Sure.
And certainly enjoying it, and it gives us a chance to also bring in some folks, featured guests, and if somebody from Memphis wants to come down and join us on one of the nights they're there, let me know and we'll bring them on in. I mean, that's fun to do. But so that's home base.
Yeah.
And the folks there are family.
Sure.
So we'll have the release party there. Going to be an awful lot of folks. Going to have an 11-piece band. Jeff Jensen will be joining us. Mark Franklin, and he'll bring a sax player with him. We'll have J.D. Taylor and three background singers. So I don't know how we're going to get all those people on the stage. We think we got it figured out.
That's not a CD. That's a show. That's what that is. That's just a damn show.
And it will be a show. There's just no way around it.
Yeah.
But we're going to have a lot of fun. We hope we have a big crowd.
Yeah.
We'll have...
And he says Friday the 24th.
Friday the 24th is coming up. The show, starts at 8. At 9, we will do the album. And we'll do some things before and after. And if folks come and they're musicians, who knows what will happen in the
third Might devolve set. Into a jam by the end of it.
It will. But I know that it will have... we're going to let the stage band jam out like mad on the Larry Garner song, Miss Boss.
Yeah.
Just because we're going to have,
got to do it.
Everybody can do it.
Oh, sure.
But, I'm really looking forward to it. We've had, the last time we did a big release party was for my album Ghost of the Riverside Hotel.
Yeah.
We did that at Neil's.
Yeah.
And had a pretty good group there with Reba Russell. And
that was a great album. That still is a great album, I love
it. And it was funny. It was the least critically approved and got the least amount of airplay, and I think it's because we chose the opening track was a Hank Williams song that we rocked out like mad. I started out yodeling and then it rocked out, and I think it people said I don't know.
But, it caught him by surprise with that one.
But Taylor Made Blues did really well. Yeah. All of my albums have charted really well. The Double Standards was actually 6 weeks earlier this year number one in the classic blues charts. It debuted at 16 on the Living Blues charts. I mean, that's just silly.
That's solid, man.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That was a well-received album. It's still getting all kinds of great...
I think this one's going to do really well for you.
Well, I hope so. This is... Jeff Jensen produced the previous albums, and Jeff will tell you this is just several steps above, where it was. But some of it is the songs. And again, I said it's a difference in where my songwriting has gone. And... it's just we had great material to work with and a great team to work with.
You're prolific, though. You're cranking out records.
I write songs. I hear a line. Like I said, the truth isn't the truth.
Yeah.
That'll
be out next week, kids.
Alternative Man on this album came from Alternative Facts.
Yeah.
The song 35 Miles to Empty on there.
Yeah.
A friend of mine said, man, I got this idea for a song, but I don't know what I'd do with it. I said, what is it? He said, 35 Miles to Empty. And I said, do you want it to be happy? I've only got 25 miles to go. Or do you want it to be sad? I got 45 miles to go.
Yeah.
And he said, I think it needs to be sad. And so
it's a glass half empty tune. Yeah.
But I'm gonna put that in. Yeah. on Ghost of the Riverside Hotel, there's that song, I Always Meant to Love You.
Yeah.
That came about because on Sirius XM, Bill Wax asked B.B. King, what's your favorite song of all times, regardless of genre? He said, that's easy. Willie Nelson's song, You're Always on My Mind. And everybody goes, oh, and I listened to it and said, well, that's a great song if you're a guy. Because it says, I traveled all over the world and you were home, but I thought about you. And you ought to feel real good about that, because while I was out there doing that and you were at home, I thought about you always. I thought, well, shouldn't there be some remorse or something there? So that gnawed at me for a while, and I will never forget. Because sometimes you just get the line, this phrase, and then the song falls in your lap. I remember I was pulling into a restaurant, for lunch, and the song, the line, "I always meant to love you," I sat down, and 10 minutes later, that song was done.
It just
that
happened.
Song is very moving. Yeah. We've had conversations about that before.
That it is. So, yeah, you've got a busy week ahead of you. I know you've got some other things that are going as well.
And then we're headed off for festivals and things like that.
So you do what you do, and that's a fantastic thing. The record will be available on the 20th at – is that right?
On the 24th at
– on the 24th, you'll have it. So.
At Ground Zero, absolutely.
And then the downloads –
it'll be available publicly and downloading and things like that September 1st. And it'll be
September
on iTunes
1st.
And
yes.
All the usual suspects.
Yeah, and you're doing what you usually do with
absolutely.
The Heart Fund and
Generation Blues.
And Generation Blues.
To the programs in the Blues Foundation. The proceeds from this album will go to the Heart Fund that pays for health care and funeral expenses for blues artists and their families. And Generation Blues provides scholarships for young blues artists to study with more experienced ones, and they're just two great programs, kind of the bookends of the life of blues people. So,
well, it's fantastic work that you do by donating like that, and it's and plus it gets you to scratch that itch and get into a studio and make records, which
you really
love doing, and you're very good.
I've got
at
enough stuff sitting around to go in and do another one right now.
Oh, I know you do.
I'm not gonna, but I might. You know,
I'm waiting for the Mick Colossa Christmas record to happen too.
We actually talked about
it. Doesn't shock me.
A Clarksdale Christmas.
A Clarksdale Christmas. That's perfect.
We might do it next year. I don't know.
That'd be brilliant. Get it going about June, July, and then it's out the door.
I got to make that happen this year. It's just too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're talking to a guy here who did an entire album about trout fishing.
That's true.
Which is still one of my favorite records.
We're having that remastered, and we're going to re-release it. Yeah.
That's going to be great.
Trout Tunes and Other Fishing Madness.
Yeah, that's great. Fantastic. Mick, thank you so much, my friend, for popping in tonight. I've got two more. I'm gonna have to hit this break, but I've got two already lined up. We're going to do 35 Miles to Empty and then Alternative Man.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we'll take it from there. So, Mick Colossa, ladies and gentlemen, the new record will be out September 1st. It is 149 Delta Avenue. Go get it. Download it. Buy it. Give it as a gift. It'll make a great stocking stuffer.
Absolutely.
And then head on down to Clarksdale on the 24th at Ground Zero for the big show.
Absolutely.
By the way, has Mr. Freeman heard any of this yet?
He has. And, in fact, one of the reasons we did so many jobs there, we were playing at a party that he was attending, and he jumped up on stage and said, "Give these guys a round of applause." Now, he'd heard us before, but he turned around and said, "They need to play here a lot more."
And now you are.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Morgan.
We don't know if he'll be there on Friday or not, but that was part of the reason for the schedule.
No, nobody knows when Morgan's going to be around.
That's part of the reason for the scheduling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So we'll see.
Absolutely. All right, Mick.
But to see an 80-year-old man jump up onto the stage to be with us was kind of cool.
Well, I know he's a big fan of the genre and a big supporter of it.
Huge, you
know.
Yeah.
So. But that's great. Good luck with this record, Mick.
Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Reverend Oma from the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop. The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical needs, such as candles, gemstones, herbs, gifts, and more. We now also stock CBD oil, vape kits, lotion, and edibles. The Broom Closet is also host to monthly workshops, rituals, and drum circles for those interested in conscious living. The Broom Closet is the only place to get your cards read by me, Reverend Oma, or one of our other amazing readers. Discover the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop in historic downtown Memphis or online at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, let us help you light your path.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Always a thrill to have Miss Zeno in here with me. Always a thrill. You were here not too terribly long ago, but you had the white guy with you, and you dumped him, and you brought me. You dumped him tonight to bring me a record, and what a record it is too.
Yes, back in love, back in love,
back in love.
Yes,
not lust.
No, back in love.
Back in love. There's a big difference in that. It's Miss Zeno, the Mojo Queen, with this record. I've heard it's a phenomenal bit of work. You really put some effort into this, and you got some good people around you on this one.
Yes. What I love about it is all original. It's on Blue Lotus Records.
Yeah.
And they can actually go ahead on and if they want to order the actual CD from CD Baby.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn.
And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right on. Our conversation with Mr. Mick Colossa here from Radioland. Next time on the program, of course, you just heard, Ms. Zeno will be here, and she's a blast. She's a lot of fun. She's a great lady with a great story, and we're gonna have us a good old time. So there you go, Ms. Zeno, the Mojo Queen. She's gonna cast a spell on your brother. That's what she does. I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. I got things to get into. Y'all, please take care of yourselves. Take care of one another, and stop shooting each other, please. I'm Rick Cheddar. And this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.